Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, July 6th. Happy Resurrection Day. Let us begin with our memory passage for this week from Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. It says this, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's nine little words. Do you think that we can memorize it? Such a beautiful passage reminding us that when we come to Jesus, He doesn't put heavy burdens on us. Rather, He gives us a light burden, and His yoke that He yokes Himself to us is beautiful. And so, I don't know, I pray that the Lord this week will help us to believe that and help us to see it. Our readings today are 1 John 3, 1 through 10. This is in our 180 days through Scripture. Today we're in 1 John, tomorrow we'll be in 2 John, the next day 3 John. We're going to zip through these letters. Then we'll continue on with Luke. We're starting chapter 11 today. And our proverb is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. First from 1 John 3, 1 through 10. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." For John, the heart of the gospel is boiled down to Jesus' command, and it's in John 13:34, it's that we love one another. Also, that if we know Jesus and we have given ourselves to Him, we no longer want to sin. But for us literal thinkers, this is a difficult passage because we all know that we still struggle with sin. Something that Jen Wilkins said has been helpful for me. It doesn't mean when we become believers that we will never sin again. It means we will be, as we grow in maturity, we will be quick to repent and slow to repeat. So as we sin, we recognize it as sin, we confess it, we repent of it, and then we seek the Lord's help and holiness. I'm reminded of question 32 in the New City Catechism that tells us what sanctification is, this process by which we become more like Jesus. The question is, what do justification and sanctification mean? And the answer is this: justification means our declared righteousness before God, made possible by Christ's death and resurrection for us. So, side note here, we're justified not by our works, but because of our belief and our trust in what Jesus has done for us. Then, sanctification means our gradual, growing righteousness made possible by the Spirit's work in us. And this is what John is talking about here those of us who are found in the great love that the Father has lavished on us, and we want to do right, and we want to love our brethren because we understand the great love that Jesus has for us. Okay, we have to move on. Our second passage is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And this is where Jesus teaches about the Lord's Prayer, and he illustrates the importance of persistence in prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for more fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I'm sorry I teared up there. I'm not really sure why. Partly because it's so difficult to understand prayer. And if we pray for things and then we try to make it about us and we say, "Well, I didn't pray well enough for that thing." This passage redirects us to praying that the Lord would give us more of His Holy Spirit. I know that you are like me. We're praying for certain things to come about in our lives and the lives of others. And so today I want us to pray for wisdom, that the Holy Spirit would provide wisdom to us and to those whom we love, and that we would be shamelessly audacious in our prayers, knowing, communing, and believing in faith that the Lord is at work. Our final passage is from Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." As I was thinking about this verse, I was pondering some of the commands and the instruction that my parents gave me. I can remember them sitting me down and having me watch them write their tithe check to the church and telling me the importance of giving to their own local fellowship the tithe as an act of obedience to the Lord. And that command has stuck with me. Another command that my parents instilled in me was, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that is an encouragement from our Lord. And it's encouragement from those whom we love, like my parents, that sticks with me as well. Now, we know that all scripture speaks to Jesus. And so this is also a command for us to tie God's word on our heart, to fasten the things of God to our spirit, and to think about them when we sleep and when we wake and when we walk and when we talk to our children. And so today, as we end the podcast, I want to read over you some prayers from the Bible or some verses from the Bible that we're going to make into prayers. I'm working with a group called Launching Verses, and we're trying to incorporate prayers that we just automatically pray when we wake up in the morning that are all based on Scripture. So I'm going to read those over you today and pray that the Lord would bless you as you bind His Word to your heart. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the morning bring us news of your unfailing love. We have put our trust in you. Show us the way that we should go, for to you we entrust our lives. Rescue us, Lord, from the enemy, for we hide ourselves in you. Teach us to do your will. Teach our families to do your will, for you are our God. May your good spirit lead us on level ground. Yet this we call to mind, and therefore we have hope. Because of the Lord's great compassion, we aren't consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Lord, we thank you for your new mercies every morning and your faithfulness. We say, the Lord is my portion. O Lord, help us to believe that you are enough. Therefore, we will wait on you. Lord, I am impatient. Help me to wait on you. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lord, we lift up to you all those in our midst who need saving grace. And now we confess, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we learned in 1 John today, we want to be a people who experience your love so deeply that we are quick to repent and slow to repeat. And now from Psalm 23, we know, Lord, you are our shepherd. We lack nothing. And so we pray, Lord, that you would be the provider of everything we need mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, and financially. You make us to lie down in green pastures, lead us beside still waters. You restore our souls. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, some of my friends are walking through the darkest valleys. I pray in these times that they will not have to fear evil, for they know your presence with them. Lord, would you anoint their head with oil? Would you make their cup to overflow? And remind us all that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let us together say, the Lord is my refuge. Say it with me. The Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling. Lord, may no harm overtake my brothers and sisters, no disaster come near their tent. For you will command your angels concerning them and guard them in all your ways. And show us your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth, for you are our God. And now this is the confidence that we have in approaching you, that if we ask anything according to your name, you hear us. And if you hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for from you. And we've asked, Lord, for more of your Holy Spirit, more abundant outpouring of your Spirit on ourselves, on our families, on our church, on our community, on our world. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.